Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up, bro?
Through your
everyone, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing, and also evil teenagers in tightly colored clothing. This week I'm Evil Zach, and joining me we've got Evil Matt.
I'm Evil Matt.
We've got Evil Mike.
Hey, I'm Evil Mike, how's it going?
We've got Evil Simon.
I'll fuck you up with a broken beer bottle.
Oh, Jesus!
I'm evil!
Don't fuck with Evil Simon.
Yeah.
Evil Simon takes his evilness far more seriously than the rest of us.
Evil Simon is a no-kill McGill.
That's why I get the promotion at the Evil, you know, Evil Inc. And you guys know.
Okay. Yeah. What's it called? The Galactic Alliance of Evil in this show? Fuck.
Something like that.
All right, we've got Evil Luke. Evil Luke doesn't feel super great, but he's here anyway, which we
Evil Luke is a trooper.
Evil Luke has the flu.
Yes, but Evil Luke is here to help us out with this ridiculous episode.
It's not even flu season.
Yeah, how did you get the flu?
A flu virus got in my body. And then okay. Started reproducing.
Well, that's fair. That
I
is
to get all
works.
Scientific on you there, but yeah,
fair enough. So yeah, we have a really fun episode today. I'm excited to talk about it. Before we do that, I have a couple short morphinusnimals.
So we've dropped the fact part of it now. Now it's just morphinusnimal.
I don't I think I've gone back and forth on that one. Have I actually called it more fact newsnimal?
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
God, that's almost always.
That's so awful.
That's why so we do wow. it. We've been over this.
I know, Jesus. I know. But in any case, we have a
worst.
Couple of them. The first one I want to talk about is if you've been following or been interested in the Power Rangers comic by Boom Studios, which the second one is just about to come out. There's a couple of interesting pieces of news about it. The first is that if you don't read comics, a week or two before a comic comes out, they usually put out like the first three pages, which is just called comic previews. It's like a standard, industry thing. And the preview for issue two, which if you have not been following the show, basically the comic, the first issue was about, basically about Tommy having like some confidence issues and his, the Dragonzord malfunctioned. They were hinting that it's due to him being like, you know, not all there. But in this issue, it opens with Billy and Trini going into the Dragonzord to try to like diagnose if there's any issues with it. And that three page preview like, man, if you think that Trini and Billy is, like, heavily hinted at in the show, yeah.
Canon in the comic?
I mean, they don't, like, make out in Tommy Zord or anything, yeah. But it's, yeah, it is very, very heavily implied. And also, it has some really good Trini dialogue, because Billy is being a Billy, aka, a guy who's like not, he is like unconfident because he thinks that everyone's gonna like the new guy more than him. So he's like, I don't know, he's got so much in common with you guys, but nothing with me because I'm not really a fighter. And Trini is literally like, oh my God, Billy, get the fuck over yourself. So it's really fantastic. There's some good Trini Billy stuff in that. And, the other thing I wanted to say about that comic is there was a panel with the, authors and the artist at WonderCon about it. And there's an article you can find on Bleeding Cool, which is a really poorly written article. I don't mean to like, Slam Bleeding Cool, but it's hard to follow.
No, that's Slam Bleeding Cool. Just do it. Like,
man, it's not very well written. But the things that I was able to, pick out of it, there's a couple things. A, the artist is a woman and she had a huge crush on Billy, growing up. And therefore, when she is, you know, she's in the room when they're writing it, apparently, she has said that basically anytime in the comic that Billy is like, suffering or being like a loner, that was her, or not a loner, but like being kind of, neurotic, that apparently that was her input, which I think is really funny. We've also got the news that issue 5, which will be in a couple months still, we're just on 2, is going to be a Zach spotlight episode. Or issue? God damn it. This is hard to keep these two words, separate. But that's cool because, the whole series is kind of about Tommy. So it's good that they're still going to have some spotlights on the other Rangers. Also they talked about how they're really excited to do the Pink Ranger, mini series. They said that there is a possibility they'll do other mini series. And also they've confirmed, that this is a 12 issue arc, and if they're still selling it as well as they are now, they'll keep going. But their idea is that they're going to, this is about Tommy joining the team. And if they finish that and are still doing well, they'll jump basically in time, a couple years till where Tommy is the leader and the White Ranger and tell another story then. So that's really interesting to me. That they're not just gonna be, you know, writing multiple years of comics in the weird, like, two episode space where Tommy joins the team originally. So it sounds like they've got plans out a while if the comic sustains. So I'm really interested to see where they keep going with that. It's been fun to have, the characters and, like, relationships get a little bit of spotlight, even though it's a pretty new still. And we haven't gotten a ton of it, but, it's really good if you guys haven't gotten the chance to read it. So now I'm going to talk about something that maybe the other people in the podcast might have input on.
I exist.
Sorry.
I'm Evil Matt.
Evil Adrian and I are Evil Pizza.
My girlfriend has pizza for me. Thank you.
Do we keep that or do we edit it?
I don't know. No,
we keep that.
Do you want to say
it?
That's
adorable.
We're doing it live?
She took the time to call it Evil Pizza. That stays in.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, moving on. So, something interesting happened, which is that they announced another casting bit for the upcoming Power Rangers movie.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. But the thing that's interesting about it to me is not necessarily who they cast. It's that they made an announcement for the casting of Jason's dad.
Okay.
So Jason's dad is being played by David Denman, who was Roy on The Office in the early Office episodes. Yeah. He's done some other stuff I'm not super familiar with, but what do you guys think this means? Like, do you
he's
think
that Jason has a dad and he's in the movie?
Well, okay. Yeah. Listen. Yes, but yeah. Let's speculate a little bit more because that's boring.
I mean, Jason has a dad on the series too. We see him eventually, so I mean, this could mean anything. It could be like a one scene role. It could be a thing where he gets kidnapped at some point and has to leave the Power Rangers' parents in Rita's castle or something, which would be awesome. I don't know. It could be anything.
Yeah, it could be literally anything from like there's an opening scene with Jason and his dad at breakfast, mm-hmm. and that's all to like, oh, his dad is secretly Lord Zedd. Like, it could be literally anything between those two points.
It could go anywhere from Neverending Story to Star Wars, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
It might be more of an emphasis on the Rangers actually trying to balance their superhero lives and their personal lives. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to hide their Power Ranger Z-ness from their parents.
Like, I'm just imagining a scene like I said, at breakfast, Dad's like, son, I don't know why you're into all that karate stuff. I didn't raise you to be a violent kid. And Jason's gonna be like, explain, it's not about violence, it's about discipline and confidence. And all those other things that karate is all about.
Dad's gonna be like, alright, well, I gotta go to work, and it turns out he is a karate instructor or something, because this is the Power Rangers, and parents have to be clones of their kids.
Yeah. Oh, I'm hoping for like a VR Trooper situation here.
You think his dad gets like killed or kidnapped, and then Jason just broods about his dad for the rest of the movie?
What if his dad was the original Red Ranger and he has to take the mantle from him?
Right.
I would actually be okay with that. It wouldn't make sense, really.
No,
with it would the be show, fine. But I'd be okay with it.
Oh, wait, they haven't said like what these characters' names are, right? They're just the Red Ranger.
No, no, no. They have. It is a reboot. Yeah. The character was cast as
Oh, you said as Jason's dad.
As Sam Scott, the father of Jason Scott. Yeah. So
okay.
I also like how you said it wouldn't really make any sense when we're talking about the Power Rangers.
I mean, yeah. I guess I mean it wouldn't fit with like the show version, but I guess that doesn't matter. It's a reboot. Like it could be anything. But I just thought that was interesting. Like the next casting after Rita, you know, they did the Rangers, they did Rita. It wasn't, you know, the Green Ranger. It wasn't it wouldn't be Babu. I was trying to say Goldar. It was Jason's dad. Like that was just that's interesting to me. I'm curious why, but mostly I'm just still angry they haven't cast Bulk and Skull yet. I guess.
But man, who do you cast Bulk and Skull as though?
I mean, we've talked about it before. I don't think any of us know young comedic actors enough to know. Who we would want even.
Andy Samberg might make a good Skull.
But in a time machine. Like he's way too old.
I guess, Of course he's like 35, but still.
Yeah. Like I don't know.
I'd kinda be okay with that.
Just like he's been held back for 15 years.
Yeah.
That's actually the kind of thing that Power Rangers would do.
That actually sounds okay.
Especially after we see their detention shit in this episode.
Yeah. Oh god, this episode's so good. It's like actually good.
So that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, it's just interesting, to hear that, but we'll keep an eye on it and see what happens. But we don't have that much in that, so let's just move into the episode. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm excited.
This is episode 38, A Bad Reflection on You, which, man, that's a bad name.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like they knew they needed to have a reflection or mirror pun, but they couldn't think of one. So they just said, fuck it. Just put something down.
Yeah.
Working title, and we'll figure it out later. But this episode, opens with Rita, which is pretty unusual.
Yep.
I'm trying
the moon.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another time that's happened, and I really can't think of one.
I feel like it must have happened at least one other time.
Yeah, it probably has.
I think the green candle might have opened on the moon.
Yeah, something like that.
With them explaining it, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
We open on the moon and we've got, we have Rita explaining her plan, but not very well.
No, yep. Not in the slightest.
Yeah, basically, she literally starts and she just like, you Power Rangers think you're so tough. Well, the Twin Man's powers will put, you know... Well,
are tougher than you. She yep. sounds like she's just quoting Modest Mouse lyrics.
Yep.
Yeah, it yep. also just sounds like she's in the middle of a conversation.
Yep,
and
yeah.
And we just, like, busted in on her. Because after she says that, Goldar says, Scorpino will lead this mission. And it's like, what are you talking? Like, you can't just start in the middle yeah, of
like
a conversation. Yeah. But also, the shot when Goldar says that is pretty great because it's of Scorpino holding her hand up to her face. And we're just looking at her hand.
Yeah.
And then she moves her hand away and just smirks.
Yeah.
Well, we caught the tail end of her doing the John Cena, you can't see me yeah. motion.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Scorpina as played by John Cena. Still in the.
Scorpina.
Still in the gold bikini
Scorpina,
armor.
Scorpina, that's perfect.
So, yeah. Basically, then, after a little while, she has a group of putties together, and she's telling them that the Twin Man, who looks like the Tin Man and from Wizard of Oz, and I don't know if that's, like, a joke.
Not really. Like, he's a weird mirror man. Well,
but
yep.
he's got... Oh, I guess
he's all angular and
okay,
shit.
Okay, I'm like, gonna be honest. I didn't realize it was supposed to be mirrors, because he just looks like he's made of shitty
now,
metal.
Now, Zach, what was the name of the episode again?
A Bad Reflection on You.
Is it one more time?
A Bad Reflection on You.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't look like he's made of mirrors at all.
In this shot, he doesn't. There's a shot later where he does. It's but from here, he looks more metallic than mirror.
Yeah. So he says he's going to... basically, that the Twin Man is going to turn them into copies of the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, if you've watched Power Rangers before, if you're not following it for the first time through us, that happens about 50 times yep. in this show. It is one of the most common plots in Power Rangers.
Yep.
That said, I thought she just meant the Rangers, because evil morphed Rangers is super common.
Yep.
But... what we actually find out is that she means, like, evil Jason.
Yep.
Yeah.
That plot is a little less common. Mm-hmm. That one doesn't happen as much. It's yeah. usually just evil Power Rangers.
I love her phrasing when she's explaining the plan to the putties. She says, I'm going to disguise you as the Rangers and send you down to Earth, and you're going to do your best to do your worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Just yeah. bad Rita dialogue. And then she says, you're going to slice and dice him. And she, like... moves her arms in a chopping motion, which yep. is pretty great. So the putties get teleported down, and then there are evil Power Rangers, which you can tell by two things. Well, three, I guess. One, they're
does
wearing
a Dutch angle.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
There's a lot of symbolism in this
we
shot.
We have a yeah. Dutch angle. They're all wearing sunglasses because, yes. as we see in a second, they have evil red glowing eyes. And also, they all have their hands in their pockets.
Actually, which, yeah. Generally Jason does.
No, they...
Zach, too. Well, but actually, posed like that, they look like they're about to start a lip sync of Michael Jackson's Bad.
You see, I was going to say they look like they're about to drop the hottest mixtape of 1992.
Yep.
Okay.
I actually get one other clue, and it's that Trini is chewing gum.
Yep.
Like, we get a close-up shot of her chewing gum.
Which she would never do.
Yeah, because chewing gum in the show for
some
reason
means evil.
Wait, are they
all chewing gum? Because so is Jason and so is Kimberly.
I thought Jason had a toothpick. No, you're right, he doesn't.
Yeah, because that's just... I don't know, it happened when Kimberly turned evil before. Like, this is... What is the deal with the show and, like, thinking chewy gum is evil?
Is it just
it's because the script kept saying, so they're smoking, and then someone at the network said, no, and they went, okay, fine, they're chewing gum.
Oh, God, I want evil smoking Jason so bad. what were
so
you going to say,
I already
Luke?
Have, like, questions. I mean, these putties act with a level of, like, self-awareness and intelligence that
yeah.
I'm not used to seeing out of those like creatures out of those.
That's all Twin Man's power. You know, it adds their appearance, but also it grants them a soul, the soul of an evil Power Ranger.
Like, is that it? Like, or were they always like this, and he just turned them into real boys?
Well,
and girls?
Remember when we had the clown putties, which like they didn't talk, but they still were like doing clown shit before they turned back into putties.
And they were emoting, like, that one was really, like, disappointed for a while, and then Pineapple told him, don't worry, we'll fucking destroy them, and he got all excited.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen the putties emote when they're disguised as people.
Like, here's the thing. Out of continuity, you can't just be like, I've forgotten Jason's actor's name. Is it?
Austin.
Austin St. John. Austin St. John, put on these sunglasses and then go and just like dance around. Cause that's A, ridiculous, and B, wouldn't work, make the plan make any sense.
Well, now wait a second. Sure it would. I think if you're trying to ruin the Power Rangers' reputations, that would be number one ticket.
I guess that's true.
They'd be committed.
Yeah.
They would just be put in detention. They'd be put in a home.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But I
do want to say one other thing about like the way the actors behave when they're playing like the evil versions of the teenagers. Now most of them they just kind of like they just try and look tough. They get all stone faced. They're not really moving or acting very much. Walter Jones has this fantastic shit eating grin on the whole time. He's evil Zack.
Evil Zack's smile is fantastic. It's really great.
We also should touch on the fact that I forget if good Jason looks like this. I'm guessing no. Where he's got a plaid shirt that's like mostly open.
Oh yeah, like Jason has definitely worn really low cut shirts before.
Not that low cut though.
But in this case, it's not low cut.
This is like cut to his belly button. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely done this before.
Yeah,
like, this is a Jason thing.
But so. The other thing is that, like, so yeah, basically, out of continuity, yeah, like, it's basically just because it would look silly to have a clown act like a putty or, you know, them to act like putties. In continuity, I have no idea as to the answer to your question, Luke. Yeah, right. Are they actually...
I think putties are secretly more intelligent than we think. They just can't communicate.
Yeah, what if it's like...
That's one...
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just saying that's one possible interpretation.
Yeah, what if it's not that they're dumb, it's just that they can't speak English. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, they're trying to make, like, witty, you know, fight one-liners mm-hmm. while they're fighting, but instead of, that'll teach you to mess with me, it's just, like they... So that makes them murdering putties constantly way more terrifying, actually. Yeah. but yeah, so regardless of the reason, we cut to the school and man, just immediately the evil Rangers are walking down the hallway. Jason shoves somebody into a locker for no reason.
I did want to point out, the establishing shot of the school. Is like an identical shot to one we've seen before of a guy bouncing a basketball.
Yeah, the basketball.
Oh yeah.
Like I think we riffed on it for a good 10 minutes the last time.
We did, which means that they probably did not bother to reshoot this. But they're walking in with tools.
Yep.
Yeah.
And by tools I mean like a monkey wrench and
like a tire iron.
Tire iron. And I was like, are they just gonna beat the shit out of kids like that?
Yeah, they look like villains from a like Double Dragon game or something.
Like that would do it.
Yeah, they do,
if you wanted to ruin their reputation, breaking somebody's ribs would probably work.
Yep. Kimberly has bolt cutters. Is she gonna like cut someone's fingers with it?
Yeah.
They come up to a water fountain and Jason like snaps and points to it. And I assumed that Billy was just going to take a swing at it with a tire iron.
Just start smashing shit up.
Nope.
Yeah, but no, like, their plan is so much more, like, doofy than that.
Yeah, yes, yes, because they look like they're about to murder someone.
Yep.
But instead what happens is, and this skips a Balkan skull bet, but we'll get to,
I mean, they,
back
they
to
just
it.
Said, yeah.
They're modifying this water fountain to shoot foam? Like whipped cream?
Whipped cream, because they open it up and Entry pours like a bag of sugar into it.
No, no,
that's laundry detergent.
Plus water equals whipped cream.
It's laundry detergent. What actually comes out is whipped cream, but like it's supposed to be soap.
I'm not gonna lie. The first time I saw them pour in the laundry detergent at first, I'm like, holy shit, are they like poisoning this water fountain? That's fucked up. And then the reality set in, it's like, oh. Never mind.
Also,
I just thought they got confused. It's like, well, no, you put sugar in gas tanks, guys, not water fountains.
Yeah. They're just too stupid.
Yeah. Also, fucking check out Evil Billy's guns.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. He hasn't really had his arms exposed like this before.
Anymore. Holy fuck.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. Billy wears big loose clothing to make it not as obvious that he's
jacked. His overalls on, but they're untied. The top is undone.
Yes. Oh, man.
That's quite a look.
Our previous guest, Eric, sent me a message and was like, I cannot fucking deal with both shoulder straps of the goddamn overalls being off.
Also worth noting when it comes to ripped Billy, good Billy in this episode, also wearing a nearly identical, probably an identical outfit, and wow.
Yeah. But he does actually, his overalls are done up at least,
He's still got his arms out though.
He's still got his arms out and is like, man, don't fuck with David, yo, he'll flatten you in a fist fight.
Yeah.
But while they're doing that, Kimberly just decides to lean against an opposite wall and do her nails and
with a knife though. Like that's not a nail file.
It looks like a file.
Is it?
It's a knife makes the next scene way scarier, which is when Skull walks up to her and asks her out,
really
you think for a second.
I thought it was a fucking switchblade and I was like the show went real dark all of a sudden.
Skull comes up and asks her out and you think like she just stabs him in the gut and walks away or something.
You're right, it is a nail file. But yes, Skull, continuing his when Kimberly is evil, I will ask her out thing.
He clearly has a thing for her.
Going to deny the weird appeal of evil Kimberly.
No, sure, of course not. But what he asks her to go do,
I don't understand.
And someone explain this to me because I thought I had a stroke. Is he says, do you want to watch the submarine races tonight? Is that a thing? No,
I think
right?
It's an innuendo? Question mark?
Is that a sex joke? Like, what
maybe?
Is that?
How would that be a sex joke?
I don't know. I need you to explain it.
Well, I don't know. I'm starting with the basic theory that submarine refers to a penis.
Right.
And then maybe just fill in the blanks from there.
No, doesn't work.
I literally don't know what this means. I don't know if that's supposed to be like Skull is stupid, so he watches stupid things on TV, but it's still.
Well, we know he does. We'll see that later.
I mean, we know he does, but also those don't exist. There are no submarine races. Like, what are you talking about?
This is a fantasy world, Zach. Whatever the writers want to be real is real.
Urban Dictionary has an entry for submarine races.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, what's it say?
Watching the submarine races is a euphemism for making out and more in a car. It's the kind of thing a cop would say to be funny when he knocks on the fogged up window of your Chevy parked in the back of a Safeway to ask what you're doing there at 1 a.m. as if he doesn't know damn well.
Do you think that's 90s slang that just none of us know? Like,
I think it might be, yeah.
Apparently. It means he's asking her to make out in a car. Alright.
To go necking, basically. Like,
fair enough.
I'll say that normally if Urban Dictionary, if it's not a thing, it just says something super gross. The fact that that's like fairly specific and also not the name of the grossest sex move that the submitter could think of makes me think that might actually be slang.
Actually, I'm looking more and it seems like this was more 50 slang than 90 slang.
Well, also.
Which makes way more sense.
Yeah, Skull using outdated slang would be okay also.
Well, more the writers of Power Rangers using outdated slang. Yeah.
Well, as long as it's outdated, they're more likely to get away with it. It seems cleaner that way. Also, so Kimberly totally takes him up on this offer. Like, she's like, yeah, sure, give me a call. How does the fact that when Kimberly is evil, she likes Skull a lot. How does that mesh with our theory that Kimberly inevitably becomes Rita in every time?
I don't know.
Does that mean that Skull inevitably becomes Goldar?
I think
who does Bulk become? Babu?
Yeah.
No. Bulk would be Squat. Come on.
Or yeah. Sorry, yeah. Squat.
So Skull becomes Babu.
Sure. Mm.
Okay. I like how in the logic of this show, being evil means all of a sudden you like bad things, and Bulk and Skull often act like the opposite of what people normally act. They like bad things, they hate good things, and it's like somehow that joins each other that way. It's like it's a really crazy but like consistent weird view of what evil and bad is.
Yeah, their view of what bad means is like Bizarro Superman.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Bizarro hate candy. You know, like just it doesn't make their view of what evil is very strange.
Yeah.
Here's where Bizarro falls apart to me. We talk about Superman villains a lot on this show, so I feel okay going on this tangent. See, if he says Bizarro hate candy, he actually does hate candy, though. So to be opposite, shouldn't he say that he likes candy?
Yeah, that's the eternal paradox at the heart of Bizarro.
But then he's saying the right thing and not the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Superman doesn't like candy.
Superman's favorite treat is a root beer float. You think Superman doesn't like candy?
Listen, I don't know. Zach, our guest from last week, hates root beer, which made me think he was a psychopath, but apparently...
Root beer's not very good.
Oh my god! Sense. Jesus Christ! What's wrong with you people?
It's too sweet.
Anyway.
Like, I understand that you're a creature that lives on planet Earth and yet somehow dislikes the flavor of water. but, you know, for normal human beings, some things can be too sweet.
There's all kinds of tastes. I think we can all agree that Zack Snyder's Superman hates root beer floats. That's
For sure. Absolutely.
Also, because I've been out of the loop, is our guest last week, Zack, a reference to the fact that you are evil, Zack, or was there a different
thing? No, Zack was on last week.
We actually had a guy named Zack guest last week.
Wait, was that week before last? Or
well, it was last week for the listeners.
Oh, wait, yeah. Oh. Sorry, two episodes
ago. No, it wasn't. Because they'll still listen to the
fuck me,
episode.
I don't know.
It was the episode that came out April 2nd.
We're caught in a Zordon-like time loop. Whatever.
Episode that came out today.
Yes. So, anyway.
Which is to say yesterday, which is to say 2 weeks ago.
Shut up.
So, I don't... Oh my god, we're moving on. It happened. Let's move on. Anyway. Yeah, you're right. The fact that because she's evil, she likes Skull, like, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I don't think that she doesn't like Skull as her normal Kimberly self because he's bad.
Well, so here's the other thing. This isn't technically evil Kimberly, because this is a putty.
Yeah, I know. You're right. That's true. That's a good point.
Like, they're just there to act evil to blame the Power Rangers.
But
so
this is something
this
that was
just
consistent.
Are they just in love with Skull?
But it makes me think that the writers of the Power Rangers think that Adolf Hitler liked to eat shit and would run races backwards and stuff like that. It's just really weird. Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. So what they did with these putties is, near as I can tell, they copied the Rangers' like looks, voices, and personalities, and then just added evil to it. Because like this evil Kimberly and this evil Billy behaved the same way like mind-controlled evil Kimberly and Billy did.
Right, yeah.
So...
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's what we're working with. So
I don't know. I prefer the idea that is purely coincidental, and that this
I don't know, man,
is just expressing their real feelings.
Evil Billy shoved a nerd up against a locker, and evil Putty Billy is about to shove a nerd up against a locker.
But you just think that this Putty wants to make out with Skull. I'm okay with that. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, only because that Putty has the mind of an evil Kimberly right now.
Sure.
I think that putty's just got a mind of a putty.
Also, I love that every time... This is kind of a side effect, but I love that every time Skull is actually the focus of the scene, because he never is. It's always Bulk. Bulk is, like, basically completely silent. He's just watching Skull, like, just watching him ask out evil Kimberly, and then he just makes, like, a wait. She said yes, face, and that's pretty much it. Yeah. Like, that's all you get, really.
Like, he was happy while he's doing the asking. He's like, oh, man, Skull's about to get shot down. This is going to be hilarious. And then
he doesn't. And it's like, oh.
yeah.
But like, the better part is even Skull's really fucking confused by this turn of events. Right. He has like this, wait, that actually, did that just work?
So we kind of look on his face. We also talked about last time Skull asked her out and she said yes. And then he like showed up for their date and she was like, get away from me. Like that's very sad for him. Like, but B, that it would be confusing. At this point, he's done this twice. Like, do you think Skull thinks that Kimberly has like some kind of schizophrenia? Like, it's a really weird, like, from his point of view, basically, how the fuck do Skull and Bulk not realize something is weird with this group of teenagers?
And the way he reacts with surprise when she says yes and doesn't understand makes me think that, like, he entered the scene and didn't, like, elbow Bulk and said, check it out, I'm gonna ask her out, she's gonna reject me. Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah. So they put this soap in the dispenser, and then, Billy,
actually, the part with the nerd is before that, and it's weird because this guy just walks up behind Billy and goes, "Hi, Billy," and just stands there like that's it. Hi, Billy.
I assume guy that he was a nerd before from his like science club.
Yeah.
And Billy shoves him into a locker. And then after they put this soap in there, they walk away.
Well, hold up. Let's not miss.
That's not
what Billy says when he shoves the nerd against the locker. He says, "This is gonna hurt you a lot more than it's gonna hurt me. Pasta la pizza, baby."
Yep.
Oh my god, I forgot.
Like they're just throwing shit at a wall to see what sticks.
Yep. And the fact that they have sunglasses and red eyes on makes me think this was like a conscious reference to Terminator.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's a reference to Terminator, but it's. It's probably because, they have the red evil eyes, but it's kind of a stretch. And also, why didn't you just say hasta la vista? Like, why
is it a
it's
a
joke.
Food pun.
It's a funny joke.
No, it's not.
It's a funny joke.
Why are you getting an Italian accent?
Because he said pasta la pizza, I guess. I don't know.
What are you talking about, Zach? He's talking normal.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Okay,
I apologize immediately.
Oh, Mike, never do that. I mean, evil Mike, never do that again.
So,
but I'm evil, Mike. I can do what I want.
It's true.
Oh, you try it, fucker.
So we cut up to the moon, and Rita's like, yeah, they're so evil. they put soap in the machine.
it's a fucking Lex Luthor, like, are you gonna wash your hands? No, cause I'm evil.
Yeah. And we cut back down and of course immediately Mr. Kaplan walks up to this thing, turns it on, and it shoots whipped cream everywhere. And it's like he's covered in it, but also it's all over the floor, and he like falls down multiple times.
It looks like shaving foam, but it's really propelling itself everywhere at a high pressure.
Yeah. And they cut over to Evil Jason, who pulls his sunglasses off and goes, "This is only the beginning." And I was like, they're going to fucking murder all these people. Like,
there is a point where Mr. Kaplan is just laying down on the floor for just long enough that it seems like he's dead.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they killed him. Oh, dear.
He broke his back falling down, and there you go, his neck.
And also, again, Evil Zach is so fucking good. Like, his body language and everything is just fantastic. Yep. So they leave.
Yeah, man, I know at some point later in the show, we actually get an Evil Zach episode, and I am really looking forward to it.
Is that the one with that YouTube clip that went around where he's
banana
drinking
shake.
A milkshake?
Actually, it's pretty soon where you're up to, Zach. I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, good. I'm excited. Yep. They leave, and then the real Power Rangers come around the corner immediately, because of course they do.
Yep.
Right.
And Mr. Kaplan, of course, points right at them and says, "Detention!"
Oh, and also, because we can't not mention it, his toupee did in fact come off when he fell down.
Well, yes. Yep. It comes off all the time.
Yeah. So they go to detention. We cut to detention. Mr. Kaplan is still cleaning shaving cream off of himself. And of course, Bulk and Skull are there. It's not, I mean, and I love that they don't Like, he says, you guys all know why you're here, and Bulk, or Skull does, like, a noise.
Yep.
Which, I love that they don't feel the need to explain why Bulk and Skull have detention. Of course they're there.
Yeah. It's just the usual, it's part of their routine at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they established a couple of times that, like, Bulk and Skull are just perpetually in detention.
Yep.
Later, there's a later episode where they get detention for getting bad grades, which is not what detention is
That's
for.
That's not a thing that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're just always there, I guess. But yeah, so he says your prank was the height of terrible blah, blah, blah.
Delinquency.
Yep.
Which is my favorite word that you only ever hear, like, teachers use.
Yes.
Is yep. Delinquency.
Yep. So he says he has to leave, and then this happens, which is that Bulk and Skull are like, it's fine, we know how detention works, you can leave. And he's like, makes sense, goodbye! What?
But it's even better, because as we see later in this episode, like, yeah, they just stay in the detention room. They actually do exactly what they're told.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough.
That's yep. true.
And we also find out that it's for a reason, because we know what happens when they try to leave.
But it's so crazy to me. Like, we've established this before. Why do people trust Bulk and Skull? Like, Ernie does it. Mr. Kaplan does it. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're basically model prisoners at this point, right? They're like the prison bosses of detention, and everyone, like, kind of trusts them because they work with the system, and, you know, they can be, like, trusted to, like, to help the new arrivals settle in and explain the rules to them and everything. So,
yeah.
Oh man. So do you think when the Rangers came into the detention room the first time, Skull just went, "Hey, fish."
Yeah.
Fish.
Yeah, basically.
So we get this great, just like, shot of them waving at Mr. Mm-hmm. Kaplan as he leaves, which I need to make a gif of. Mm-hmm. And when he pieces out, they're immediately like, oh, thank God he's gone.
Yep.
At which point, Bulk tries to kick Jason out of the seat that he's in.
Oh, this is magical. This is where the best part of this episode begins.
And he's like, and Jason goes, I don't see your name written on it. At which point, Bulk moves Jason's folder off the desk, and it says Bulk.
It says Bulk.
Yeah.
Let's be real here.
Like, and Bulk actually spells it out. B-U-U-L-K.
This
Bulk.
Is like one of... This is legitimately a good gag.
Yep.
Yeah.
It, like, initially, it's a decently funny joke that he has to move his binder and there's the name. And then that it's misspelled, it's like a double twist on it. And they put too much of a light on it by having him spell it out and then Trini saying it's not spelled right.
Yeah,
it's for kids. Then that's
the spotlight on it.
That is a well-executed gag. I'm so proud of them.
The spotlight on it kind of shatters it a little, because it's like they couldn't figure out how to spell Bulk wrong.
Yeah.
Because, like, no, you don't, why would you ever, unless you're completely
unless
illiterate.
You take it way over the top and go like B-O-L-C-H-T-A-R-E-S-D, you know?
Yeah.
I think I just spelled Bulk Arrest or something. I don't know.
The fact that he can't spell his own name is upsetting. Like, I know that he's supposed to be stupid, but wow.
The Eagle Grove school system is really failing him.
So, at this point, Bulk sits down in his chair that he has reclaimed. And I love this shot so much, because he says, I wonder what Mom made for detention, for me, not for lunch, for detention. And he pulls out his lunchbox, which is an old timey construction worker's lunchbox.
Yep.
Oh, hold on real quick. We do get the shot of Skull asking Kimberly, so are we still on for tonight? And she has no idea what he's talking about.
Of course.
So he starts pulling food out of this thing.
And then is the cartoon, like, bottomless
box. Oh, yeah, it's very obvious he
thing.
Sets the box on the table so that he can start, like, they do the gag where they start pulling, like, impossible things out of it.
Yep.
Right.
But there's a shot. So, yeah, his lunchbox is Mary Poppins' bag, basically.
Yep.
Yes. It's infinite. And they turn the camera over, they cut to the Rangers looking at Bulk, and this is my favorite group shot of them possibly in the show.
Yeah.
Because you get so much out of it. Like, Jason doesn't understand chairs, and he's sitting on on the desk, which it's the school desks that are attached to the chair, and like that's super dangerous, eh? But he just doesn't care. And then Kimberly is just staring at Bulk like he's a psychopath.
Billy looks mortified. Zach looks bored
and turns back to Trini, and they give each other this like "what's happening" look. It's such a great shot. And then they cut over to Bulk, and yeah, he literally has—he's
pulling out. Okay, he has a sandwich, 3 donuts, a like 3-foot-long sub, an entire pineapple. This is all wrapped in Saran wrap, by the way. Look, what looks like a whole ham, a whole bottle of ketchup, mustard, a soda. I'm just looking at it.
It's
some
crazy.
More stuff. And can't tell what it is.
There's like an entire like loaf of bread in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Skull comes over and is like trying to get some. And he's like, "Quit staring at me." And Skull says, "Oh, come on, Bulky, give me a little piece, please." And he gives him a soda.
Yep.
Yeah.
None of the food.
Right.
Nope.
But Skull is happy with it.
Yeah.
That.
Skull said he's Bulk said he's hungry, not thirsty, so that's fine.
Skull takes it like a squirrel and like goes to you know, like squirrel it away for the winter. It's
he approaches it very slowly and then grabs it and scurries off.
So his just man,
So
go ahead.
So the Rangers are like, "Man, something's up, guys." Skull thinks he has a date with Kimberly, and then Billy says, "Even Skull's not that mentally deficient." Cut
Which,
to Skull.
Hey, fuck you, Billy.
Yeah. That cut to Skull, opening his soda, and it sprays all over him.
Right. And then they laugh at him, and he tries to retaliate. He, like, shakes it up and tries to spray it on Kimberly, but, Kimberly dodges, and he sprays it all over Bulk. Who then gets mad and throws a fucking cream pie at Skull, which...
Yeah. Well, I do really love the Skull being like, "No, she ducked! Yeah. No, it's not my fault!" Yeah.
And then Skull's reaction is so incredible. He says, "Oh, Bulk, this is better than my mom makes. Thanks for sharing." And it's like, it's so
like earnest. Yeah. Like, he's not at all mad that he got hit with a pie. He's just happy to have gotten a taste of it.
It's so fucking weird. This whole interaction is bizarre, but I love it. So yeah,
the thing is, like, I can't tell if Skull's being sarcastic here or like if just feels that way because that's the actor.
I think he's completely serious. Like, he literally looks like he's like, "Oh man, I got a little bit of pie. Awesome."
This is like Bulk and Skull used attention to practice their vaudeville routine, and they're excited because this time they have an audience to show it to.
Yeah, for sure. So they cut up to the moon. And basically, Rita's like, "Now it's time for phase two. Which is actual evil Power Rangers." And we get this shot of the Rangers.
Like, they escalated real quick.
We'll talk about it.
In a water fountain.
Yeah, because the first thing they did as evil Power Rangers is, prank a water fountain. And the second thing they do is go into the middle of town and shoot lasers at civilians.
Like, literally step one. Yep. Make the soap suds in the water fountain and goof Mr. Kaplan. Step two, fire pistols indiscriminately into large crowds of people.
Yeah, like, whoa, yep. Jesus.
Do you think they're made out of phases? Those go on a budget, man. They can't just have like 100 phases there. So
all I gotta say is I'm really glad they never reached phase 3 because Jesus fucking Christ.
I also love that the shot of them attacking them is Sentai footage. So it's all Japanese people, and they specifically made another shot of a bunch of white people running away.
Yep.
So it would be people. Weird, I guess. Yeah.
Yep. And black people, non-Asian.
Yeah, you're right.
They're...
I'm sorry. It's
I think the shot of the white people running the way is the same shot from the super putty ball being risen into the air.
I think it is. I think you're right.
It probably is.
So now we cut back to the detention room.
Well, the other thing I was going to touch on real quick, too, like, there's, like, a burning car in the middle of the street.
Yes!
Even. Like, they have just... it just looks like this is just a terrorist attack.
Yeah, yeah, for basically. Sure.
Yeah, and they're not just firing guns at people. We're seeing like the Pink Ranger throw a chair at a person. We're seeing the Blue Ranger like throw a guy to the ground.
Now,
like,
to be fair, what the Pink Ranger actually does is pick up one of those like plastic white.
Yeah, it's a patio chair.
Patio chairs.
There's no way you could hurt someone.
And like swings it at a guy, which is pretty funny. Yeah. So yeah, we cut back to the detention. Bulk says, "Oh boy, it's time for my favorite cartoon," and he has a bag that says "Detention Survival Kit." And he has a fucking portable television in it, which...
Yep.
You know what? Well, A, I don't think that is a portable
and
television.
And he also has a plastic hand in there for some reason.
Well, the TV has a handle on it, so I assume it is supposed to be, like, carried around. Remember, guys, 1992.
Yep.
So the portable detention is... the portable TV is still pretty big. But yeah, also he has a plastic hand, which... Yep. Like, every time Bulk opens a bag, like, rubber chickens and shit come out of it, and I don't understand why. Like, you remember when
he- Is that, like, another one of his special powers? Like, he's always attracted and he's, like, magnetically attracted to cakes, or cakes, and when he opens up bags, like, random shit just pops out and spontaneously
generates.
Either
that or he's a hoarder, so I hope it's that one, because remember when he opened his locker and, like, full sandwiches- like fell out of it, like hot dogs and shit.
Hold on, guys.
Yes,
I've got it. Okay. All of Bulk's superpowers and everything that happens to him, Bulk is secretly a clown.
Oh,
he doesn't know it yet. he has not yet been awakened to his true destiny and his superpowers.
You're a clown, Farkas.
You're saying he hit puberty and his clown powers awakened, but nobody was there to explain it to him?
Yeah, he's like an X-Man, except his powers are clownish, I guess.
Oh my god, I love that. Yeah, so...
Eventually
why
all
do you think
the,
he was
like...
able to just materialize a pie earlier?
Yep. Eventually, all the balloon birds, like, they come to his house and to drop, like, the banana peels with the invitation to Clown College on it. And, like, his dad is, like, blocking it. There's no such thing as Clown College. And eventually, like, the living room gets flooded with banana peels and cream pies and stuff.
It would be,
and, like,
it would be Goonie Birds, right? That dropped off the...
Goonie Birds.
He's going to be a janitor at Clown College. And, he's going to be fixing the water fountain. He turns around, there's, like, a... chalkboard with just like a drawing of someone getting pie, and he takes that piece of chalk and he just kind of looks at that and just kind of nods and walks away, and then, you know, in the morning someone solved that impossible clowning problem.
Okay,
who could it have been?
So to recap, here's the references that we just did in order. First it was X-Men, then Harry Potter, then Good Will Hunting. Okay, are you all caught up? Good. All right, let's continue.
Also, to cap off this tangent, watch Good Will Hunting, fantastic
movie.
It's
very good. It's solid but movie. Also, it would have been way better if it was a clown theorem instead of things.
Yes. maybe in the sequel. I hear reboots are all the rage.
So, God. So yeah, they pulled it. Oh my god, that's my favorite fan theory, is secret clown powers. So yeah, he pulls his TV out.
Good job, Evil Mike.
And
thanks, Evil Man.
He pulls his TV out and he's watching.
Looks like anime. It looks Japanese. It's some kind of thing with a boy and a dog.
What? No, it doesn't look like anime at all. Have you ever seen an anime?
No, it does. It looks like a cheap.
It looks like old timey Japanese animation.
Yeah, it looks
from the
50s. Like
early,
yeah,
early
something like
anime
that.
Before they got the
anime.
Crazy big eyes. Yeah, it kind of does.
With like the red clown nose on the boy too, and like the spinning legs.
But
I don't know what it is, but it looks Japanese.
More like knockoff Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, but whatever it is, the thing that always happens in TV shows where someone's watching a cartoon happens.
Yep.
Which is that they're laughing hysterically at parts that aren't funny. Just
right. Like a dog running after a guy.
Yeah, just every time there's a cartoon and a TV show, people just point and laugh at it.
Yep.
As if the idea of animated characters is hilarious. Yep.
Look, they're running!
Look, they've drawn the same thing with slight differences over 24 frames a second to create the illusion of movement!
So, in the middle of Bulk's precious TV program,
they interrupt the cartoon with a news report, which is another thing that always happens on TV.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you know what? If there was a I'm pretty sure that they interrupted the cartoons on 9/11, okay?
Probably, you're right. Yeah. Fair enough.
But yeah, the news reporter, who I think it's, is it the same voice as the normal news reporter guy? It kind of sounds like it. I can't tell though.
Yeah, who knows?
He says that the Power Rangers, who would once fought on the side of good, have decided to fucking murder people, I guess. Yeah. He says join the forces of evil, but like, yo, they're just shooting people. Like,
I love Jason's reaction. He's like, that's ridiculous. The Power Rangers would never join the forces.
Oh man, every time they have to protect their identity, like they really rub it in that they're bad at it. Like, you know, every single, like when Jason's cousin was visiting and Zach was like, tell me more about how awesome the Black Ranger is. It's just,
But I love that when they're watching this news story, Bulk seems kind of confused.
Mm-hmm.
Skull seems ecstatic.
Yeah.
Like, look at his face.
Skull does seem weirdly excited, which is a little creepy.
He's still thinking about the dog chasing.
Well,
before,
no, there's,
probably.
What's the exact line? The news reporter says, it is a dark day for Angel Grove. And it cuts to both of them going, all right!
Yeah. And Billy says that's impossible, which I like because,
it is.
But no one else knows that except you, like.
Yeah.
I also love that, the news reporter says that the Rangers are behaving like the same hoodlums they used to put away.
Which, listen, this is a, they weren't fighting like fucking thieves, like they were fighting monsters. Are you calling a Cyclops monster a hoodlum? Because that's
Now I'm just thinking of like three putties in a street corner, like making shady deals, and the Power Rangers come up to break them up or something.
Are you a Power Ranger? You have to tell me if you're a Power Ranger.
Yeah. Like three putties just loitering, just like
they just racially profile those putties and go like lock them up and like, no, that wasn't on me. You just found it. It was on the curb. That wasn't on me.
But yeah,
well, now I just want to see cops, but with Power Rangers.
But yep. Jason is super indignant. Oh man, that would be so fucking good. Just wait, are they like following the Power Rangers or following police, but in Angel Grove?
Oh man, either version is
good. Yeah, either would be good. Especially since eventually Bulk and Skull are the police, so.
That's true.
Yeah, that would be something.
True.
Yeah.
It'd be the Power Rangers
like,
equivalent
I'm just imagining
of,
you're with, like, the cameras following Trini inside of, like, a, you know, she's driving. And then, like, you see an exterior shot and she's driving the Tiger Zord.
Okay.
Actually, I would honestly love the Power Rangers equivalent of, what was that one comic? I think it's Gotham Central, something like that.
Oh,
Where they, like, followed the police department in Gotham City and see, and, like, see what they were
just
doing.
Angel Grove HQ, where it's just the cops at Angel Grove. Here, I'll help, I'll give you a hint at what the cops in Angel Grove do most of the time. Not a goddamn thing.
Well, you don't see any of them trying to do anything about the Power Rangers.
You just said something, Zach, that makes me really hopeful that at some point, somewhere in this show's history, the Power Rangers visit a local business called Angel Groove.
Yeah. Angel Groove would be a really good name for, like, a used record store in Angel Grove.
Yeah, something like that.
That's gotta be the name of the big local radio station.
Sure.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Also, it's got to be the name of, like, some fan album of, like, fan music,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, they move 3 feet away from Bulk and Skull and openly talk about how they have to go stop the evil Power Rangers.
Well, first we cut to the command center, and Alpha is like, it was like, no way, that makes no sense! And it's like, fucking duh, Alpha, come on.
Yep.
Zordon
reassures us, this is Rita's doing.
So at this
she's reached a new low, and I disagree with that, Zordon. I think the lowest Rita's been so far was destroying Kimberly's float.
Yeah. So they say, like, we could just morph, and Jason's like, no, we can't reveal our identity to Bulk and Skull. And also, Bulk is in the background, and he's not in focus, but when he says we could just morph, Paul Schreier totally looks over at them. Like, I know that he's not supposed to have heard it, but I just like the idea that he's just like, wait, what?
Well, it's at a point where, Like, Bulk and Skull have got to be so intensely disinterested.
Yeah, that... the only way they're not hearing this is just because they don't give a shit. Like, yeah. Yes, I agree. So, Kimberly's like, Mr. Kaplan took off. Now it's time for us. Now we can, like, get out of here. And they all leave. And Bulk says... Oh, right. I'm sorry. This is what happened. Yeah. He leaves, and Bulk is like, I wouldn't follow her. She'll be back. 3, 2, 1, and then the door opens, and Mr. Kaplan brings her back in. And
I love that Bulk and Skull have a countdown. They know exactly how long this will take.
Yep. And Bulk's just like, amateurs. Yeah, like...
They've got it down to a science. Yeah. It's like the guy on Prison Break that, like, has figured out all the guard routes and stuff and, like, knows everything that happens with clockwork in the prison. Yeah.
So at that...
It's actually really impressive that Bulk and Skull, like, are, like, really knowledgeable about this weirdly specific thing.
They're detention savants.
Yeah.
Because you gotta figure they've tried to break out hundreds of times.
Yep.
So at this point, they're... Sorry, I got lost. There's a, oh my god, what is the thing called? The intercom announcement.
Yep.
That, due to an emergency, no one is allowed to leave. Man, that's crazy that they don't say what it is. Yep. Like, due to the fact that there is a Power Ranger terrorist.
Well, they
attack.
Say the current emergency.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They must be used to it by now. I imagine at the time giant monsters are wrecking the city, there's a similar announcement. They probably have it pre-recorded and just play it every other day.
I've mentioned that in the Power Rangers comic, they actually have a,
they
have a monster attack alarm in the school, which is pretty great. But yeah.
Now here's what's great is that the news reporter comes back on and says, like, we're back here with the emergency. All efforts to stop the Power Rangers have failed.
Yeah, like, so what do you think those were?
Have they nuked the city yet?
I guess
what's
cops?
Going on?
Yeah, like police.
Like, I have to assume cops, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just straight up shot at them and, like, that didn't do anything and they just, all those cops died.
Yeah, the Rangers are murdering police right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I was about to say, does that mean, like, the evil Power Rangers are just cop killers? They're just shooting police officers
with fucking lasers.
They called it the National Guard and just blew up their tanks and jets and everything at this point, yeah.
So, Zach walks over to Bulk and Skull and he says that I have an idea, and he walks over to Bulk and Skull and says, hey, you guys want to see a magic trick? And Bulk says, yeah, show me something we haven't seen. To which Kimberly says, you mean like the alphabet, which is fucking raw. That's not cool.
Yeah, it's like, ooh.
Oh shit, Kimberly. There was actually another sick burn that we skipped. So when Bulk and Skull were trying to start like watching their cartoon, Skull like sits down in front of Bulk and Bulk like throws him to the ground.
Oh,
and Skull's
yeah.
like, come on, Bulk, I want to watch. And Billy like pulls out a fucking notebook and is like, huh, early Neanderthal socio-conflict.
Oh, God, that's right. They're so fucking mean. So, yeah, he says, check this out. I can make us disappear. You just have to close your eyes. Now.
And cover your ears.
Cover your eyes and count backwards from 10.
He also tells them to plug their ears, which is important.
Okay, that's not in the in the subtitles, I guess. That's what I was gonna say. But even then, they still shout their transformation at like the top of their fucking lungs from 3 feet away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god! And apparently that's not loud enough for them to notice, and they teleport away. And let's
not gloss over the fact that Bulk and Skull have an incredibly difficult time counting backwards from 10.
Oh yeah, they hit this, they just say 9 like over and over again.
They can't manage to get past 6 down and then they go back up. At some point Skull just starts saying 7 every time it's his turn to say a number. Yeah.
Listen, I know that our school system in America's not great. And I know that there are people who really have trouble with math and reading. But the level of stupid that Bulk and Skull are portrayed, like, they shouldn't be able to eat. Like,
they only recently found out what question marks
were
for.
True.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you keep saying, like, man, there's no way the school system is that bad. Like, I don't know, man. The Angel Grove school system, near as I could tell, they have one teacher and a principal.
That's fair.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't know, man.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the fight.
All right. All right.
Alright, so at this point, they morph right the fuck in front of Balkan Skull, and they teleport to a fight, which we get some Scorpina in this episode,
yep.
Which she doesn't show up that often, so I don't know.
I mean, she's barely in this.
Yeah, she's not in the show much. And also, she's barely in this episode, too. Yeah, even though they made a point to say that it was her, like, mission at the beginning. Also,
before the fight actually started.
Like, go ahead. The fight hasn't actually started yet. We just see the evil Power Rangers and Scorpina doing more mayhem. And before we even get to the real Rangers getting there, we cut back to Balkan Skull, still counting up and down.
Yep. We've cut back. Yeah. And Skull is still just saying 7 over and over again.
Yep.
And Bulk actually, like, looks back.
He actually gives up. Is like, hold on. You guys, you gotta tell us when to stop. I give up. I can't count.
Yep.
Counting back.
And then,
but they don't give up quite yet. They still go because this cuts right to the moon.
Oh, yeah. We cut to the moon.
Just in time for Rita to say, yeah, keep killing everyone, evil Rangers.
Yeah, and then they cut back down, and Bulk says, fuck this, and pulls his mask off.
No, not yet, actually.
Oh, still?
Still. No, first we cut back down to the fight.
The fight does not actually start until after Bulk and Skull give up counting.
Yeah, you're right. And sure.
Maybe I was just thinking of another bit, because I'm up to, the bit where the Power Rangers start posing, and then it cuts back to Bulk and Skull, you're right.
Yeah, so they pull their masks off, and they're like, wait, what the hell? Where'd they go? And that's pretty much it.
There you go.
Yeah, then, we're going to be cutting back and forth between this fight and what Bulk and Skull are doing. Don't worry.
Yep.
But
yeah. Then we get our Power Ranger on Power Ranger fight, which is pretty
finally.
Cool.
Yep.
Except for the part where, like, you can't root for anyone because they look identical.
You don't know which one is which.
Which is really funny because there's.
I think that's kind of neat, actually.
Well, so there's an episode
also,
in like 20 episodes that's called Mighty Morphin Mutants that's this same fucking plot. Except that the Evil Rangers have black gloves.
Yeah, I was thinking of another one where the Evil Rangers look like total shit, and that's how you tell them apart.
So it's not like, again, like we said earlier, they kind of do this a lot.
But in this one, what I love about the fight is, like, you see each of them, instead of, like, pairing off with different people, they each fight their own doppelganger.
Of course.
And so what happens is when we get a shot of each Ranger, we get the actor dubbing themselves twice. One in their normal fighting voice, and one in, like, their evil voice. So, like, when you see the Blue Ranger fighting the Blue Rangers, David Yost going, hoo-ha, hoo-ha, and then also David Yost going,
I fucking love the idea of the director going, okay, do karate yell? Now do
evil karate
evil
yells.
Karate yell. Like, what does that mean? Okay, I'll try. So this fight's pretty good. It's just 10 Power Rangers fighting each other, and I enjoy it.
You know, punching and slapping. There's one cool bit where Trini goes down and, like, leaps to Kimberly's defense and knocks down what she thinks is evil Kimberly, but actually we're to assume Trini just punched the hell out of real Kimberly because, like, the evil one is standing right behind her and she starts, like, strangling her.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only indication we get in the fight of the evil Rangers actually trying to trick the good Rangers is evil Kimberly calls out to Trini for help.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, Kimberly shoots evil Kimberly, who turns back into a putty, and then we get a shot of, my favorite shot of Rita, which I think they've shown this before, but.
No, they use it all the time when she just glances back from the telescope and goes,
so
oh,
sad,
shit.
And it's pretty great.
Yeah, but every
like
time
she's just realized the one flaw in her plan, which is that putties can be killed.
Yeah. Well, easily, weirdly.
apparently yep. these disguises are broken, and this might be something that's actually explained in the Sentai, I don't know. The spell is broken by hitting the evil ranger with the real corresponding ranger's weapon.
Oh,
and is that what's going sense. On?
That's true, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they don't mention it, really. It's just something that happens. Like, as soon as they hit them with the weapon, they turn back. So.
I just assumed they were dying, and that's why, and like, they were losing their power.
Yeah, they hit with the real weapon every time.
Yeah.
Yep. But like each time it happens, we cut back to Rita pacing around and being upset. It's like, oh no, it's falling apart.
Then we cut to Balkan Skull, and Skull is
actually first we get like Trini getting rid of evil Trini, and it's funny because she tosses her daggers at it, and the daggers just bounce limply off the chest, not even blade first
or anything.
Well, well, you know, it's because they're fucking made of plastic. But there's also a shot in this when Kimberly shoots at evil Kimberly, the bow arrow travels like I don't know 5 feet and then falls down, and it's so like the toys, they don't do so good. Like, but yeah, they're winning. They're turning them back into, the non Power Rangers, into the putties. And then we cut to Skull, who is looking for them in cabinets. Like the Rangers are hiding from them in cabinets for some reason.
Well, in fairness's name, they're actually like pretty large, spacious cupboards. If you thought somebody was hiding in a room, that would actually be a decent spot.
Also,
to do it.
They're eliminating the impossible to find the improbable, that they're just doing like proper investigative work as future detectives would.
Well, here's the thing. From Bulk and Skull's perspective, in their minds, they can't have just left the room because Mr. Kaplan would find them instantly, because that's how detention works.
Right.
Yep.
So clearly they're hiding in the room somewhere.
And Zach did say, like, we're going to disappear or whatever, so sure, okay.
Yeah, so and as far as they're concerned, they're just trying to figure out a magic trick.
Yeah, that's what they think happened. And there's a really bad shot where, like, Skull opens a cabinet and we, like, the camera switches to Bulk, who's, like, holding his head like he just got it in the face, but it doesn't look like it hit him.
Yeah, it's a really bad slapstick take. Like, the cabinet didn't hit him at all, and he like, acts like he got slapped.
Yep.
Then we got back to the fight. Zach turns the other putty into, his putty back into a putty. And then we have the Red Ranger on Red Ranger fight, which is pretty good.
There's actually one pretty nasty hit that happens in the Red Ranger fight where one of them, like, hits the other one in the armpit with the sword, holds it there, and then pulls it back. That looks like it's gonna hurt like hell.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah. And then he does turn back into Twin Man, and now he looks mirror-y, which I'll give you that. And then he has a fucking laser whip or something?
What the hell? Cool.
Yeah, he only uses it once, but it's awesome. Yep.
I have to hope that, like, we see more of this guy in the Sentai, because he's actually really cool for what little we see of him.
Yeah, he's neat. And then he does some weird, like, he puts a mirror filter on the world?
It's a kaleidoscope.
It's like a kaleidoscope / bug eye.
Yeah, and it makes the Rangers dizzy, and they fall down?
Also, Twin Man is the second of two Bryan Cranston monsters.
So. Oh, nice!
Is he Bryan Cranston again?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Fantastic. And so, yeah, they use the like weird stack on top of each other attack. It hurts him, but doesn't kill him. And then they use the fucking power blaster
Let's not forget that after the mirror attack, Kimberly says, "And to think I always liked mirrors."
Wait, Zach, why are you so ornery about that? And then they use the fucking power blaster. Like, what? Why?
Because
are you
we
so
don't
upset?
Get big. I like big robots.
There's no swords in this.
And there's no swords.
It's a great episode. It's kind of sad that the best Power Rangers episode so far is one where the swords don't appear.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the best Power Rangers episode because they did a bunch of stuff that wasn't like.
That's true. Yeah. It would have cut time out of.
Also, they use, as Evil Matt calls it, the Hell Satan pentagram attack, which is awesome.
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
They do use the pentagram attack, which is pretty cool. But then, so then they jump over to and make a pose after they fight off the bad guys, and a bunch of Asian people run up to congratulate them, and I'm not saying that to be racist.
No.
I'm saying that because then they, when they cut to the Angel Grove version, the, like, American one, They got a lot of Asian extras on purpose, like, specifically.
Well, okay, a lot. I see one. There's an old white lady.
And then the...
No, there's, like, an Asian dude.
Well, no, but also the reporter is Asian. Like,
I see in the wide shot now.
It feels like they specifically tried to make it not as weird.
I gotcha.
But,
like, so these random fucking people walk up to the Power Rangers are like, we're so sorry we doubted you. We should have known that it was, you know, it was evil Power Rangers or whatever. And immediately there's a reporter there saying, and the Power Rangers' names have been cleared.
Fucking Power Rangers doesn't know when it has a good idea. Because they can't have, like, an episode where the people don't trust them. They have to immediately be like, and it's fine! Like,
I just like them to cut really quick to a judge banging his gavel and going, clear it of all charges! Bang! And then cut back to the report.
The fucking mayor from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Was like, I declare the Power Rangers officially pardoned!
Wait, Zach, are you saying you wanted, like, a long montage of, like, Twin Man, like, his funeral while the commissioner eulogizes him and then, like, cuts to him, like, smashing the Power Rangers signal?
No. I would think it'd be cool if there was an episode where they, like, try to save somebody and they're like, I don't know, we don't really know about you and you attacked people and blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't need to be a big thing. But, like, one episode.
Do you want it to
be
like
be
the
fun.
End of the Dark Knight? Like,
no,
what
but Jesus, I'm not trying to take it to that extreme. It's just hilarious that they attack a bunch of people, and 5 minutes later, there just so happens to be a camera crew there to be like, it's fine, they're good still.
No, you're right. I mean, it's very silly how they went from, like, like, destroying downtown to everyone loves them again.
Well, also, but worth pointing out, man, these people came back, like, really, really quickly.
Yeah,
like, Monster's dead, and they
so
just
fast.
Immediately pop back up.
Yeah. It's just goofy.
But also, if there's a surefire lightning-quick way to clear your name, it's to fight your doppelganger in a public space.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right about that. Like, they saw Power Rangers fighting Power Rangers, but
I'd like to say this episode has a more consistent view of people's versus superheroes than Batman v Superman.
I would wager most things do.
Yeah,
I was gonna say damning with faint praise.
We're gonna
there,
get a bunch of fucking hate mail from people who really like that.
From Batman v Superman fans? Bring it on, man. I'll fight these guys tooth and nail.
I am at a point now where I have heard so many ridiculous things about that movie that I'm not gonna pay to see it, but at some point I need to watch it out of morbid curiosity.
It needs, like, it kind of, weirdly enough, needs to be seen to be believed because, my God.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it.
I highly
on
recommend
Netflix
the We Hate point. Movies episode about it.
Yeah.
They usually try to cover old films, like they have this thing in place they call the 10-year rule, but they were like, oh man, this movie's so shitty, we gotta talk about it right now. And it's amazing.
So anyway,
a jar of piss is a major plot point in that film.
Yep, what? That's right. That's not made up.
A jar of human urine is a major plot point in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
All right, so we cut to, let's stop shitting on a different movie, and let's cut back to the detention.
Cut back to something much more enjoyable and well put together.
Yep.
Power Rangers.
Okay, anyway, so they cut back, and Skull is like, oh, I have an idea, let's tell on him, which is funny. Like, he's like, let's tattle. So they walk outside, and Mr. Kaplan is just fucking standing outside the detention room, staring at the detention room.
Yep.
Why isn't
he's examining the water fountain. I assume he got it fixed.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I was gonna say, why isn't he just in there? Like, why is he just looking at it from outside? But, they tell on him, and, Mr. Kaplan is like, sure, Bulk. Like, he doesn't believe them? Which you'd think they would, because he's still pissed, because he thinks that they fucking hijacked the water fountain. Like,
but, like, he's been watching the door all this time and didn't see anyone come out, and he's like, no, there's no way. Like, we're on the third floor. There's no possible way they could have, like, walked out of that room. You guys are just being goofs, as usual.
That's true. Also, when he doesn't believe them, Skull puts his hand to his head like he's doing the salute and says, Scum's honor, which is...
You gotta respect that, man. The scum doesn't, like, call on scum's honor unless they really mean it.
That's a weird dialogue.
But I love that Mr. Kaplan's like, all right, but if you two are lying to me, you're going to be in detention until you're 50. And then Skull goes, eh, what's another 2 years?
Yeah, that's a good joke. It's a good joke.
It's pretty good.
So yeah, that he walks in and whoops, they teleported back in just a second ago.
And they hurry back to their seats. By the way, lucky that Balkan Skull weren't in the room to see them teleport back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They really did luck out on that one, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They might have just been watching the viewing globe.
Waiting for their just chance. Like pick a moment where they just walk out into the doorframe, but not looking into the room, and silently teleport behind them.
But yeah, Balkan.
But I love that this is a real, like, shit-eating move here. When Mr. Kaplan walks into the room, the Power Rangers just all turn to look at him and say in unison, "Good afternoon,
oh,
Mr.
they're
Kaplan.
So shitty about this.
Yep.
Like,
it's like they basically play it like their whole magic trick thing was on purpose to trick Balkan Skull into getting more detention.
Yeah, they're like, wait, how did you do that? And Kimberly's like, it's just a trick with mirrors like this one. And she has like a compact. Oh, it's so shitty. And they're like, come on, please tell us how you did it as they're leaving detention. And Zach is like, get a life, Bulk. And it's like, fuck you, Zach.
Well, he like, would if he could, like, if he could go out of school at normal hours like a normal person.
Yeah.
But they end up going, and shrug, and that's the end.
They both just do this big old exaggerated shrug at each other.
Yeah, like, that shrug is hilarious. Bulk looks happy as hell.
Now, guys, I know this is something we kind of press on a lot, is that, like, you know, we'd be like, Bulk and Skull didn't really do anything wrong in this episode. Bulk and Skull did literally nothing wrong in this episode.
No.
No, they didn't.
Absolutely
well,
nothing.
I mean, except subvert detention by having all this shit, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but they didn't do anything to our heroes.
Nope,
they didn't do anything to instigate our heroes getting in trouble. They didn't pick on them or even really fight with them in detention. They fought with each other.
Skull tried to spray soda on Kimberly, but like that could
be. That was because they were mean to him.
Yeah, that's not really.
Like the Rangers were so mean to Bulk and Skull the whole time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jesus.
I also love, I have to point something out. Like, we all liked this episode, which means that we've only been recording, talking about it for about an hour. Like, apparently that's what happens when it's a
good
episode.
Well, we don't have much, like, snark to say about it because everything
about
it is so
good. Oh, wait a second.
Zach,
I remember now. Weren't we going to start doing two episodes at a time once they started slowing down?
No. Yeah. I don't remember if we talked about it, but that was originally the plan, and I kept being like...
No, we've made fun of you for it a lot.
Okay, good. Yeah. That never happened.
Oh, man, though, this was a really good episode, though, you guys. Like, this was legitimately good.
Really good.
Yeah, it actually was.
There's good,
no argument.
There's legit good jokes. The Balkan Skull stuff is really fun. The fights are, like, they're not, you know, they're good for this show, and they're pretty quick. They're not, like, weirdly protracted, like some of the better fights are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing is, I know there was the complaints about, like, oh, there aren't any robots in this episode, but that just means we don't have any time wasted watching the robots come together.
Yeah, that's not a huge complaint. I just like the
like
robots.
There wasn't a whole lot of fighting. What fights we saw were good. The actual, like, the Evil Rangers stuff was fun. We got a lot of Bulk and Skull. Like this was a good episode. Everything we liked was here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I really enjoy this one. If you're trying to watch through this and like and skip the stuff that's skippable, this does not have any like plot importance, but you should probably watch it. It's a great one.
Yeah, this is one of the better ones.
And also, it's just I'm actually the only complaint I have about it is we don't get more evil unmorphed Rangers because the one scene is great. Like, it's really fun.
Oh yeah, it's really good.
And I kind of do wish there was more of it, but the detention stuff is actually a lot of fun too, so I'll take it. But yeah, this is a good one. It's goofy, it's dumb, and Bulk doesn't know how to spell his own fucking name or count, I guess, which is whatever. It happens. But so, that's it for the episode. So let's talk about some listener questions.
All right.
If you have questions for us,
you nailed it, man.
What? Oh, I called it listener? Yes. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
right. we give you shit every time you get it wrong. We should commend you on getting it right.
We gotta get rid of normal Zach and keep evil Zach. He's way better at this.
He's way better at talking with his stupid mouth. If you have questions for us, you can send them to us on Twitter @teenswithtude. You can send us an email, teenswithtude@gmail.com, or you can join the Facebook group Teenagers with Attitude, and we will answer questions there. So we have a couple. The first one I've got here, and keep in mind that we were looking for bullshit questions. So,
It's still, as previous, always, sending out that call. I love bullshit random off-topic questions.
Yeah. Yep. Previous guest, Michael Fingers, sent in, we know what question marks are for, but what's the deal with single quotation marks? And I have to say, I know what I use them for, but I actually, what are those for?
Well, they're for when you're quoting inside, it's like for nested quotes.
For nested quotes?
There's that. There's...
Like if you're quoting something that itself quotes something else.
Oh, okay.
They're used for a single character in programming.
Okay.
Yeah, that's also true.
Yep. Yep.
I know they use them for also, feet in what do we call our stupid bullshit system in the U.S.? Imperial measurements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of quotation marks, I was brunching at a restaurant this morning, and in the menu, like in the omelet section of the menu, it said, "Our omelets are made with 6 eggs," and there were quotation marks around the 6. I had a good laugh about it, because I was like, it's clearly just 1 egg, right? So they're just like, yeah, 6 eggs.
Why would there be quotes around the number?
I think
6?
Some people wrongly use quotation marks for emphasis, and
In the Southeast, in America, sometimes they use that stuff for emphasis or like bolding. Yep. But that's wrong. Like, that's not what you're
saying. It is. It always makes me think it's sarcastic.
Yeah.
It's either supposed to be for, like, sarcasm or if you're quoting from something else. And famously, I can't remember who it was, but there was a comedian who did a bit about, there was a sign in his hometown that, for, like, the slogan of the town was, like, "The nicest town in the South," and like "nice" was in quotes. And he was like, "Wait, what? What does that mean?"
That's the most threatening town slogan
ever. Yeah. So, yeah. I didn't know that about the nested quotes. I had no fucking idea. So, there you go. I guess that's what those are for. We're better at this than the teachers in Power Rangers, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
That's high praise, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, nah, it's kind of a low bar, to be completely honest with you.
Well, it was sarcasm. You didn't see the quotes.
Oh,
around it.
You should have said it. You should have put quotes around it so I could see this. Let's see. Other bullshit questions. He also says, Luke, how do I get Senpai to notice me? You wanted bullshit questions? There you go.
Specifically addressed to you, Luke. Please enlighten us.
Yeah.
Air horns tend to work pretty well. Fire is always a good attention.
Sorry, I want an anime where like the shy girl tries to get the popular boy's attention by just walking up to him and blaring air horns in his ear.
Just vuvuzela right into his face.
Like, she is smaller than the vuvuzela.
Yeah, and then he looks at her and she's like, "Senpai noticed me! Yay!" I would be pretty okay with that. So there you go. Air horns. That's the answer. That'll do it. Okay, so we got a couple that are, let's say, half on, half off topic. Joe Ricciardelli asks, he has two questions. First, and these are fairly complicated, he put thought into these. Let's say there's a villain exchange program where the bad guys of a roughly equivalent scale from another show exchanged roles for one episode. Which show's villains would you choose to replace Power Rangers' villains? How would these new villains use their shot at the Power Rangers? And how would the Moon Crew fare going up against the heroes of another show? He has some suggestions that I think we should go over, but do you guys have any ideas before we get to those?
Well, they're not really similar at all, but I do think that that if you switch the villains of Power Rangers with Batman, you'd get some entertaining results.
Oh, man. Okay. So, I think that...
The Riddler would just end them, right? He'd kidnap someone, put a bomb next to him, and go, like, you have 2 hours to solve these riddles. They understand the Riddler's
costume.
Yeah.
they would just think it was Skull, and they would be like, yeah, whatever. I think Batman would probably actually work fairly well with, like, Rita, probably because he would take her more seriously than she deserves.
Right, yeah, like, in spite of the fact that they're all crazy superpower monsters, I don't think Batman would have any issue with them.
No. I think it would be a fairly entertaining story. The other way goes real dark, though, because...
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Like, it kind of doesn't matter which Batman villain you have. They're going to murder somebody, and the Rangers are going to not know how to deal with that.
Maybe if it's more Batman 66, I think the Rangers could deal with that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that'd be great. I would be way into...
I would love to see the Power Rangers go toe-to-toe with Frank Gorshin as the Joker.
Frank Gorshin was the Riddler.
Oh, yeah, I meant the Riddler, my bad.
Was it Cesar Romero?
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero was the Joker.
I would love a plot where Tommy goes to stop a robbery, and it's Catwoman. And she tries to seduce him in her Catwoman 66
way.
And he
just has to leave.
And he just goodbye, cause he can't deal. He cannot deal with the attention, and he just has to leave. that would be fun/ terrifying, depending on which versions you use. The Joker, the current Joker going to Angel Grove would end really poorly for everybody.
Right.
I think Mr. Freeze would be a fun one because he's kind of robot-y at this point.
But then I also think the Power Rangers would have no idea how to deal with the moral complexity of Mr. Freeze's character.
It's like, oh, he's doing it for a good reason. Oh, how do we deal with that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what to do when our villains aren't just doing it for the sake of
evil. Well, I mean, we saw with, what was his name? The bird who wanted the Goonie Bird eggs. He wasn't really evil, but they still blew him up, so presumably.
Yeah, but
they would call
the
Megazord and fucking slash Mr. Freeze in half.
That's true,
The Power Rangers would just shoot the Joker, is what I'm saying.
That's also true. They just murder their villains. So,
that is true,
So if they did
actually. Well, but here's the thing, the Joker is more about making you undermine your own moral code, so he'd want to force them to escalate.
And but the thing is that then once they did, they would just kill the Joker. So I guess that
right, but they lose their powers and at the same time, and as far as the Joker's concerned, that's a win.
I guess so.
But what's the threshold for escalation though? Because the Joker would be like, I'm killing a shitload of people.
That's true.
And then Zordon would be like, Rangers, you need to stop
Wait,
the Joker.
He's not giant yet. Don't call your robots or anything.
Shoot him with guns, Rangers. Shoot him with guns until he bleeds everywhere and he's dead. Good job, Rangers.
Rangers shoot him with guns is my favorite fucking command that he's ever given.
I love the specificity. It's like, shoot him with guns. Specifically guns.
So he has some...
Well, what are they gonna... Well, go ahead. Kimberly's fucking bow and arrow.
Like, Kimberly, put the stupid bow away and take out your gas.
Yeah, take out your fucking laser pistol.
We've upgraded your handguns. What are these? They're Glock 9s.
So he has some suggestions, which I like, mostly because, man, so TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that's the obvious one, but also, holy shit, how these map onto the villains in Power Rangers. Krang is Rita, or Zed, depending on how you do it. Yeah. Shredder is Goldar.
Goldar, yeah.
Bebop and Rocksteady. Our fucking Squad and Babu and Baxter Stockman is, Finster. Yeah. Yep. It's
pretty much directly. The series don't even need to
change.
That's
the thing is, he's like, how would it change? And I don't think it would, actually. That would be basically the same show. That would be pretty goofy. I think that the Power Rangers villains would work especially well in the old Ninja Turtles cartoon where everything didn't make any sense and was just super crazy. But I don't know that it would change that much. He suggests Transformers villains, Megatron, Starscream, Soundwave, Shockwave.
Yeah.
That would work. I mean, like, big robot on big robot fight.
Well, they're not that big, though. Like...
Yeah, I guess.
They'd have to get one of the, like... See, we don't have any... I don't know if...
I guess they'd have to not make the Megazord, and then it's fair, and they don't escalate that way or something. I don't know.
Does any... Because I don't know enough about Transformers, but they're combiners, right? That get into, a real big robot.
Yeah.
So that would probably
And there's the one that's like an aircraft carrier. He's pretty big.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And also the one that's a planet. So I guess that would work. I forgot about him.
Oh, man.
Okay, let's do this. Luke?
Yeah.
What about Metal Gear?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, right?
Wow. It's not a show, though.
It's not... Oh, okay, fine.
Specified show.
That's fine.
So I guess, like, this is not a valid answer. We don't need to explore this any further.
Because whenever we answer questions, we strictly stick to the spirit of the question.
Of course we do.
No, I want to hear Luke's answer.
Because
all right, let's say Metal Gear Solid 1, so it's like Foxhound with Liquid Snake at the head.
Right, yeah. Gosh.
They'd have Metal Gear if they tried to nuke Angel Grove?
Generally are.
Yeah. I don't think that the Power Rangers would win that one, even with their giant robot. That doesn't sound like it would go well.
Would Zordon, like, infect them with Fox Dye to try to get at them? That's another question. Or, like, would Snake... What would Snake do? He would just put a bullet between the eyes of Rita, right?
Yeah. No, Snake doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. All right.
And he has one last suggestion, and he prefaces this with, Sigh, Sonic the Hedgehog Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
I mean, Scratch and Grounder are right about the right level that the Power Rangers deserve.
No.
No, you said Saturday morning.
Not Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, what the fuck?
Here's the thing. Saturday morning...
The thing of it is, in that cartoon, like... Robotnik's already taken over the world.
Yeah, Saturday morning won. Robotnik is way more fucking effective than Rita ever was. Like, he's super evil and also already rules the world.
But assume that he starts at nothing. Like, he's just been freed after 10,000 years. How can he build up?
I think that he would roboticize everyone and they wouldn't fucking notice because...
Well, so wait a second. in the comics, they eventually reveal that Planet Mobius is actually Earth in the far-flung future.
That's true.
Clearly, that's how it starts.
You think, I honestly think Robotnik would, roboticize all the extras and they wouldn't notice because they don't talk to anyone other than their little tiny clique of people. And it would be too late by the time they figured it out.
Yep.
But I mean, he doesn't turn them into like, Blade Runner style.
No, they're like androids. Terminator obvious robots. But I just think
big old battle robots.
But I just think the Rangers are that dumb. That's the thing.
That oblivious. Yeah.
I mean, whatever. They don't notice when like fucking any like their own friends go evil every other episode, and they never notice. Like, I don't think it would work out for them.
Genuine question, Luke.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon.
I mean, they're very similarly structured shows, so that could... Although, honestly, I think the Sailor Moon villains would give the Power Rangers a real hard time.
Why is that? I know nothing about Sailor Moon.
Hold on. The early ones are really stupid. Like...
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, think about how Rita attacks. She just sends a monster down, and they wreak havoc, and the Power Rangers go, oh, okay, that's what we do. Like, Jedite and Sailor Moon... He just opens up a business that secretly saps your energy.
That's true. This, again, like, plays off the fact that they don't notice anything, so...
Yeah. Like, they have summoned Queen Metallia before the Power Rangers have even noticed there's anything wrong.
That's true. Basically, I feel like... I think we talked about this before. Somebody asked about the Yurks invading from Animorphs. And, basically, the Rangers are just too oblivious to notice, like, when people start acting weird.
Yeah. Now, like, later on against, like, the Dead Moon Circus or whatever, when their monsters are just attacking right out, that'd be a little easier.
Yeah, I think in any of those cases, like, Sonic the Hedgehog or anyone that deals with that way of attacking, your best line of defense would be Balkan Skull.
Why is that?
Because they wouldn't. They notice when things are weird.
Oh, I see.
They're the only ones who do in the show.
But then again, even then, with the like with the Dead Moon Circus, or with the I forget what they're called, the third season bad guys in Sailor Moon. They're like almost like serial killers. Like they plan singular targets each week.
That's true.
Attack them, get what they want out of them, and leave.
Yeah.
Like they don't hang around to wreak havoc.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rangers are...
You have to have, like, detective skills to beat that
basically,
kind of bad guy.
Okay, actually, I take it back. If Zordon extends his omniscient knowledge of every bad thing that happens to non-Rita things, they're fine. Because he'll just say, this thing is bad, go get it. But otherwise, they're screwed.
Although now I'm really realizing that the only reason most of the people in power in Sailor Moon are safe is because... One of the Sailor Scouts through random happenstance.
Because Sailor Moon is the only show that operates on more coincidence than Power Rangers does.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they always just happen to bump into the person being attacked.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on. I like that question. There's some good stuff in there. His second one, Joe has a fan theory. That he says, he actually sent me a message after this one, because of our talk of Angel Grove possibly being an angel burial ground, whoever said that, or the Garden of Eden. He said, I swear I did not listen to that one before I sent this question. but he says, is Angel Grove really the afterlife? It's called Angel Grove. Fantastical things happen that no one thinks is weird. And what if the entire series is one character's near-death experience, a la The Wizard of Oz or similar tropes in television?
No, listen, it's clearly indicated in the last episode of the series that it was just that alternate universe that you see in that last season that happened to be happening in the afterlife, not the rest of it. Lost reference.
He says, given this premise, so that, I don't know if that's that interesting, but I like this part. Given this premise, which character is secretly in the coma and imagining this cartoony version of their real world? That part of this question I like.
Oh, man. Whose fever dream is this?
I think...
Tommy, right?
Oh, that's a good answer. Tommy? Yeah, that could make sense. Though that would mean...
I like that I didn't have to justify that at all.
Though actually that would mean...
Who's the only sane man is what we're asking here.
I was gonna say that would mean his self-confidence was really low because he loses his powers over and over again, but his self-confidence is really low, so yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Like, he's dreamed this perfect world that he wants to be a part of, but he has to try so many times to figure out how.
Yeah. My other answer would be Skull. Because he's always, like, right on the periphery. He's not even really the focus when it's, like, bulk time.
Yeah, I mean, if this ended St. Elsewhere style, it would definitely be Skull looking into the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like that. Also, he does say inspired by Lost. So, there you go.
There you go. I got that. There it is. I caught it, Joe. You're welcome.
So, let's see. Oh, okay. I was going to skip this one, but I remembered that, that Mike was here. So I've got one that he might be able to answer. Undead Scotsman asks, I heard you were looking for dumb questions. If you had to make a ranger team comprised of various mythological deities of any pantheon, who would be your 5-man team?
Okay. All right. Well, a lot of this is going to be motivated by entirely too much time spent playing Smite and or Age of Mythology.
That's why I asked you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Billy of the group is going to be Vulcan.
Okay.
The Roman god of the forge.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Other than clearly, I don't know how Vulcan works. I only know Hephaestus.
It's basically the same.
Vulcan
guy.
Is Hephaestus, yeah. Basically.
Right. But does Vulcan have the thing where he's all like? Disfigured and like
they are literally the same person. It's just
Roman and Greek mythology are exactly the
same. They have
Vulcan is easier to say, and it's like
okay, all right, no, that's fine. I didn't know if there were slight differences, but like to be Hephaestus can't walk right. It seems like he'd have a hard time superheroing.
Well, in Smite, he built himself a robot leg to make up for it.
Oh, I see.
Yep. So, yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Okay. So yeah. For Kimberly, I'm thinking,
I'm thinking Chang'e.
Okay. It's the goddess of the moon in
yeah,
Hindu mythology. Not Hindu, Chinese mythology. Chinese. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Trini, I'm going to go with Awilish.
Who?
Awilish. She's also a moon goddess, but she's Mayan.
Okay.
So I'm going with that. I've got a bit of a moon thing going on.
Yeah,
here.
A little bit.
Let's see. Zach, I'm also going to go with the Mayan pantheon. I'm going with Chalk because he's got a huge fuck off axe.
Okay.
And you know, I mean, really, that's it. He's got an axe. let's see. Let's see. We still need a Jason and a Tommy. Jason.
Jesus.
Fuck. All
right. Somebody help me out with these last two because I'm blanking.
Jason would be like Thor or like the most bland, like who.
Or, you know, no, Jason would be Hercules.
Yeah, okay.
Jason would be Hercules.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
Tommy would be.
I'm going to go with Uller.
Who's Uller?
He is the Norse god of skiing.
What?
And okay. And male beauty.
Okay.
All right. There is a three-parter in like season 3 where Tommy goes on a skiing trip. So there you go.
Yeah. Is there a god of extreme sports?
Kind of. Yeah. Uller's whole thing is that like he skis and also he does archery while he's skiing.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. You know what? That makes sense.
Uller, god of extreme sports.
Well, there's Loki. He's the god of tricks.
His whole thing is that dude is hella handsome.
Yeah. That seems like that. Kind of seems like that should just be every Power Ranger.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Okay. That's some good ones. I was not sure that would go anywhere, but there you go. He also, oh man, I didn't even read this. He says Yahweh would be the head in the tube.
Oh, there you go.
Unless, yeah. Well, okay. Unless God is in the tube and Alpha is Jesus.
Okay, sure. But does he still say I?
Goodbye, Christian listeners.
Bye, Christian participants in this podcast.
Please tell me that's not the last question. Please tell me that's not what we're ending on.
Tell me do you guys have any listener questions?
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I'm sorry.
If religions had to be Power Rangers, which one? No, okay. No, I don't. I don't have anything.
No? Okay. Nope. All right. Well, in that case,
shame on you.
What?
Shame on you.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, yep. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend anyone. This is all in good fun. I promise. So yeah, that's going to be it for us this week, I think. Which like, God, this is like a record shorty for us, huh? Jeez.
Yeah. Which is weird because
like
we all fucking
loved
the
episode.
Still like
an hour and 45 minutes. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, episode 36 was about that long.
That's true. I guess it's just, you know, again, we like this one, so...
Yeah, this is like far and away my favorite episode.
I guessed it on our friend's podcast, Totally Reprise, again this week, and they talked about doing a Steven Universe rewatch podcast, and I pointed out it's actually really hard to do it when it's a good show.
Yeah, I mean, you could talk about, like, the why you like it, but I still don't think that's going to get you as long as
you have to like actually be insightful with your critiques and commentary when it's a good show.
Yeah.
That's why we did
no
a Friends one.
We all just stopped and went, wait, what? How does that work? What? No.
Yeah. There's not that much shit that happens on Steven Universe that makes no fucking sense unless they don't want it to. So like,
right. Because it's actually a very meticulously planned show. Wait. So even things that raise questions, those questions get addressed.
Are you saying that Power Rangers just pulls stuff out of its butt?
No, I would never say that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. If you have questions, you can send them to us at any of those, places I listed earlier. If you have a minute, if you could leave us a review or a subscribe on iTunes, that would be great. Or a rating, all that stuff helps us out. If you tweet about us, that'd be awesome. Tell your friends, all that stuff helps us to, continue growing and, you know, just gives us an incentive to keep doing this. And every time, even if you don't have questions, we've gotten mail and text and writing from people who've said like, how much they like the show. And even if you don't have a question, we always appreciate that stuff. So thanks so much for taking the time to listen to us and write to us, and keep listening. So yeah, that's it for us this week for Teenagers with Attitude. I'm Evil Zach.
I'm the virus that took over Evil Luke's body.
I'm Evil Simo.
I'm Evil Mike.
And I'm Evil Matt.
And may the power protect you always.
Not!
Hi, Billy. This is gonna hurt you a lot more than it's gonna hurt me. Pasta la pizza, baby.